Good morning. Bună dimineața. Well, I can see only a few people reply when I said it in Romanian. Do you want me? Yeah, okay. Is it better now? All right. Thank you. Well, I have to admit it's a stretch for me to speak in English, since my first language is not English. But this is how we worship back in Romania in my church. Believe it or not, our church is a refugee church led by an African from South Sudan. So he's the only African pastor that I know of in Romania leading a Baptist church. So this is our church in Romania. Now, we live in the UK, but that's our sending church. That's our home base. When we are there, we worship with them. Thank you, Pastor Daniel, and thank you, Pastor Tim, for inviting me this morning. And it's a joy for me, and already have been blessed by the worship, worshiping together. It's such a wonderful joy and blessing to come together and just worship our Father, isn't it? And I don't know if you have heard how Sylvia put it, you know, we are thankful, and because of that, there are some feelings going on, right? So we'll unpack one verse this morning, and we'll also talk about our attitudes toward God. So I don't know if the PowerPoint, yes, thank you very much. So we will look at only one verse, Psalm 90, verse 17. And I don't know what is there, but it will happen. Right. So allow me to read Psalm 90, verse 17. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is what we want to look at this morning. In order for us to celebrate and harvest and enjoy what he gives us, then we need to work. And based on our work, we produce, and then we celebrate. And after we celebrate, after we produce, there is something happening in our hearts. There will be some attitudes will happen. We'll be unpacking this truth this morning. But I want to say a few things about, I was hoping to have the remote easier for me to work with. Thank you, appreciate that. Thank you. So just a few things about Psalm 90. It's the only psalm in the whole book of Psalms that is written by Moses. Basically, it's a prayer. It's not just a psalm, it's a prayer. Like many other David's psalms, this is also a prayer. So Moses, at the beginning of the commentary says, at the beginning of the journey in the desert, he wrote this psalm. So it's not towards the end of their time. It's at the beginning. Therefore, it's one of the older psalms in our Bible that we can find there. And also, we'll see particular at the concept of the work of our hands. That's what we want to look at this morning. And this concept, this idea of the work of our hands, has been developed by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. So we'll look at various verses, passages in that book. So, okay. When we come to harvest, we have to do work before. And as we work, we enjoy what we get, the crops and the products that we have. But what we gain, and most of the time when we are in the Romanian Thanksgiving service, we have all these products. I don't know if you had it before, but this is how we do it. And we look at them, you know, oh, God have given us pumpkins and tomatoes and potatoes and, you know, all this. So we look at our harvest. But the harvest, what we produce, also leads us to attitudes. We start to take that in, and we look at them, and then we start to think about, oh, this is me. I was the one to do it. And that actually puts us in a relationship with what we produce and what and the outcome. And this is what we want to look. First of all, I want to look at the work of our God. What is the hand of the work of our God? Who is the handiwork of our God? It's us, people. So God, when he started to produce with his hands, the only thing, when you look into the book of Genesis, the only thing that God had produced with his hands was mankind. The work of my father's work of the hand, it is me. That's what. So because of that, he, and then we look in Psalm 139, and I cannot see that far, but hopefully you can. I have no idea if you can. Can you see that? But the Psalms 139 says that we are wonderfully produced. Not just are we being made. No, we are wonderfully made. It's amazing that the work of my father's hands is wonderful. It's amazing. And this is what I can look at and enjoy it, because he loves us, because he loves me so much. Moreover, we can see, I don't know, that I have been created for Christ, in Christ, right? So the result of the work of my father's hand is the mankind. And we can see that in Genesis, but not just a product, but also in the image of him, or of himself. When God created us, he created us in his image. Many times now, in our days, we talk about AI. We want to produce artificial intelligence that will be in our image now. This is how God created us, to create. But we are the ones that we've been produced. We are the ones that we've been created by God, our Father, in a wonderful way and in his image. And this image has a few things. I haven't put it there, but it's about the relationship, the community, coming together. This is what we're looking, what we see when we look in the book of Genesis. But also, because God created, at the end of his production or result, he looked at it and he said, "This is amazing." And then when we look throughout the entire scripture, we see that God loves people. This is how we've been created. We've been created to enjoy what we produce. And because God produced us, because God created us, he enjoys. And we look at John 3:16, for instance. Because God loved the world so much, he did what? He sacrificed. He gave. Because of his love to us, towards us, he gives. And this is what we are invited to enjoy and nourish and just take it in our lives, to the relationship with the Father. Now, this is the bad news. We can produce too, but we can produce with God or without God, away from God. And unfortunately, this is what we produce when we are not walking, when we don't have God in our lives. We produce, the Bible says, expensive idols made out of gold and silver. And then what do we do with what we produce? We love and worship. So we create this expensive, I don't know, buy expensive car, or maybe, I don't know, even a house or even a career. And we start to worship expensive idols for us. Sometimes, you know, an expensive phone, you can see, you know, the teenagers, they want to have the most expensive, the top-notch, you know, iTech, you know, in their pocket. Yeah, that could turn into being an expensive idol, unfortunately. We worship what we produce. When we look at what we can accomplish, then we look and say, oh, wow, this is wonderful. And the Bible says, again, I don't have it, I cannot see it there, but I can see it here if I put my glasses on. And the Bible, and it says, the Bible in Isaiah 2:8 says, their land is filled with idols. They bow down to the work of their hands. to what their own fingers have made. People without God, they worship what they produce. And isn't it true that actually the values of this world is to have goods, to get as much as you can? And we have to admit, you know, a lot of our Romanian people, maybe not just Romanians, have moved to the UK for solely this purpose, to gain more, to obtain. And of course, if you are British, you may not know, but a lot of them go back to Romania and they boast. They say, oh, look at what car I have. One day I had a friend that came from Spain, and he was in a wonderful car. And he says, oh, in the service, right? I was about to preach, and the pastor invited him to say a few words, and he started to say, you know, oh, it's wonderful to be in Spain and work. That was about 10 years ago. It's wonderful. And he says, whoever wants to check out my car, I'll leave the doors open so you can see the car. I was like, what? So then, at the end of it, you know, the service, I went down there, you know, to see his car, you know. And I pulled him aside. He was my friend. I said, is this actually your own car or you rented? Oh, no, I couldn't afford it. I rented. But this is what we do. We worship. And sometimes we rent a house to boast. So we do silly things, but our hearts drives us, and we worship what we produce. Another thing is that we start to worship. Oh, okay, it's a bit different. We are trapped in our own, in the work of our hands. We become like slaves. We work so much because we make so much, I don't know, plans. We want to build another house. We want to have another project. We need to buy another. And then by the end of it, we become trapped. This is what the Bible says. Look together with me. It's in Psalm 9:16. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. We are trapped because we want. And then the fourth one, hopefully will appear now, right? We worship the work of our hands, not that just the product, but even the work of our hand. And this is what it says in Jeremiah 1:16. And I will declare my judgment against them for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worship the work of their hands. We start to worship what we do, not just what we produce, but even what we do. We are so good at what we do. We enjoy so much. And I was at that stage too. It happened to me too. And I wasn't doing bad things. No, I was serving God. There were years in my life that I would organize 20 conferences in Romania, mission conference, and 20 in somewhere in the world, doing God's work. But what I did, I didn't worship my Father, my Creator. No, I was worshiping what I was doing. Wonderful, beautiful things. But then it wasn't Father that would establish the work of my hand. It was me. I was the one that, you know, was driven. So our action, the Bible says that our actions are like filthy rags, and they short-lived. They don't last forever. What we produce here, it doesn't matter how many conferences we do. It doesn't matter how many cars we have. It doesn't matter how many goods we have around. They're short-lived. They are short-lasting. They will pass. And I don't know if yesterday was the beginning of the end with Israel being attacked. I hope we'll, you know, come to an end of this world, because Maranatha, we want to meet with our Father soon. But at least we know that everything is passing. And the Bible says that everything we do, and look with me, in this is in, I think, in Isaiah 64 with 6, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts, are like filthy rags. We all shiver up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Now, I don't know I know a few people in this church, but I don't know every one of you. I don't know if you this morning have come because a friend of the church invited you or someone that is attending. I don't know your heart. Maybe you have been forced by your parents to come. Maybe, I don't know, you struggle, you need community, so therefore you come. I have no idea what you come here for. But I tell you, without God, anything, everything we do, it is filthy rags. That's the bad news. There is nothing we can improve. There is no money we can give to a church. There is no priest that can buy our salvation. There is nobody that can pay for us. Nothing we can do. We can give to charities. We can do whatever. But there is nothing there without a relationship with the Father. And that's where we have to understand. So the bad news is that if we are disconnected from God, all what we produce, it doesn't matter how expensive it is. It doesn't matter how shining it is. It doesn't matter how they look. We're away from the Father, we only produce filthy rags. Now, the good news, you can see I'm an evangelist. The good news is, before we move to the good news, this is where I was in 2000, 5 years ago. For the first time, when I started to invest time to read this passage and analyze who established the work of my hands, who is actually doing it? And I said, okay, let's do an exercise. I was in a group with our people back home, and we were asked to look at this passage and put the hands, we draw our hand, and then we'll look at it. So, okay, what is important to me? What do I do? Well, my main job at that time was teaching. I was a professor at Bucharest University. So I said, well, okay, that's the first one, right? And then I say, okay, what do I do? I'm leading the mission department of the Baptist Union, right, in Romania. So that's the second thing. Makes sense. Then another one is writing. Yes, thank you. I put it here somewhere, but... writing. I like to write. You know, I just finished a journal article on polycentric mission and multidirectional mission. So if you are curious, go on Vista by Radcliffe College, and you can read it. Well, not now. In a couple of weeks will come. Anyway, so I'll enjoy writing. And then church. At that time, I was an elder in our church. I was involved. I was, doing a lot of things. And then, of course, charity. We have a charity even now, Kami and I and another friend of ours. So we run charity. A lot of good work. No, nothing bad. What is missing? Tell me louder, because I'm... God, yeah. That was one that I totally missed. Something else? Exactly. Thank you. It was a family. She said it loud. Yeah. And I was stupid enough to actually show this graphic to my wife. And she says, where am I? Where are you children? And she was absolutely right. Because this is how we learn. Well, I missed a lot there. And in the end, I realized that when we talk about teaching, it's not just teaching at the university. I was also teaching marriage seminars, pre-marriage seminars. I see a lot of stuff. So then I ended up realizing that this is who I am. I'm worthless. I was so much burdened of the things that I have established for myself that there is no efficiency in it. I missed out so many things. I made so many mistakes. My relationship started to sort of broke. I'm not good. Nobody can do this and imagine that they are efficient. We, in one way or another, at one point or another, we end up being lifted up closer to heaven, we think, right? We think that we are closer to God, but no, this is where we end up. And you don't have to be a church worker. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a pastor to have this experience. The moment you understand that there is something between you and your wife that you cannot just sit and listen to her, that you might have difficulties. The moment that you don't know, let's say the schedule of your children, when do they come home? What do they need? What do they like? When the war broke in Ukraine, our job, we traveled back to Romania, and our job for a few weeks, we were there in March, and yeah, February and March at that time, a year ago, was to connect with all our missionaries that we knew and pastor, we knew that they are connected to the Ukrainian refugees. And literally, I knew all the entering point and exit point borders in Romania, who is actually displaced, pastors and churches doing work everywhere around Romania. So I would call them and I said, all right, so how are you? And of course they know me. And they said, I'm doing good. I said, okay, when was the last time that you asked your son, well, because I know them, if they need any shoes? And say, what question is that? Come on, I thought we talk about spiritual things. I say, yeah, this is very spiritual. Are you connected? When was the last time you took your family, you know, for lunch somewhere out? When was the last time that you were involved in, but we all serve the refugees. I said, I understand. But you will end up like I did. And that's when we start to assess, where are we if we are disconnected? And I have been there, and it's no fun, not at all. I've been there. There was a moment in my life when I started to realize, I don't know if my children have an eternal life. I have no idea. I don't see God in their lives. I'm not sure if they have a spiritual walk and whose responsibility it is. It's not my pastor. Well, it's not my wife either. Not my parents. It's me. So I had to make decisions. I had to make changes in a way to actually come closer to my children, to get to know them better, to understand who they are, to listen to them, to have the feelings where Sylvia is. To feel them, to see where they are, what they feel, what they need to be there, to be present. Well, it took me a while, and I think I'm still working on it to come closer, to understand. So when God establishes the work of our hands, this is what happens. And we'll look now in the passages in Deuteronomy. So when God is the one that does that, the Bible says, well, I think I have to switch between, because I cannot read. Can you read all that? Is it easy? Oh, that's nice. I put it both in Romanian and in English. Okay. I wish I will have a native British person to read, actually. Can we have a microphone? Because I want those passages to be read. Sorry? Well, yeah, we could do it, but then we'll take too long, you know, to do both. So if we have a microphone and someone that can read, we'll have a few passages, and they are a bit long. But anyway, so the first thing that we look in Deuteronomy 36 to 9, we can see that what God does in relationship to the work of our hands is transformation. Can you believe it? He's transforming our hearts. He's transforming us. That's what he wants. All right. Can you help us then? Okay. Thank you.
Is it on? Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors.
Thank you. Can you see the connection there? He transforms our lives. He gives us a new heart. He does something deep there that nobody knows. There's stuff in our hearts that maybe not even us know. Maybe not even I know what happens in me. But God knows. So He works because He wants us to produce something for Him, with Him. And that's the work of our hands He wants to see. Because the Bible says that He wants to establish. In fact, Moses prayed, please establish the work of my hand. Because Moses knew that God wants to have our hearts circumcised, changed, transformed. Let's go to the next one. He wants us to be His holy people. Can you please read that passage for me too? And maybe Daniel, you can do it in Romanian for those that are listening to Romanian. It's Deuteronomy 28:9-12.
Sorry. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to Him. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land He swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands.
Thank you. So we can see that God is doing more than just blessing the work of our hands. He opens heavens. More than that, it's not limited to what we can do. There will be more coming. So, yeah. So if we walk with the Lord, if we are His holy people, then this is what will happen to us. It's not because we are something. It's not because we can generate things. It's because He loves us so much. He wants to bless us, but He cannot bless us unless we walk with Him. And the third, He wants us to be generous. There will be a few more then, okay? So it's okay if she has the microphone.
At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store into your towns, so that the Levites who have no land allotted to them or any inheritance of their own, and the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Isn't that amazing? Many times I thought, oh, it's just the orphans, it's just, you know, the widow, it's just the stranger. Why is God including the Levite there? Why do we have to be generous to the ones that work, you know, for God? Because this is what He wants us to. In our country, we have, generally speaking, we have a difficulty to support our missionaries. But when I read this passage, it struck me. We need to take initiatives. We need to be generous. It's good to do social work. And I'm a social worker too. It's good to invest, you know, and help the poor, help the stranger, help the widow. But it's also important to remember that those that work with God, they need our help too. As part of our hands, a work of our hands, and then we'll continue to be blessed by our Father. We are not searching for the blessing, but we'll come to that a bit later. It's what is happening because we are generous. And then another one is that He invites us to help others and to celebrate. Oh, did I put it here? Anyway. Invite us to help others in Deuteronomy 24:19. If you can please read it.
When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands.
Thank you. So it's an initiative we need to take. It's not just happening. It's not something that, oh, okay, well, if it happened that I crossed by someone that needs my help. No, we take initiative. We think. We strategize. We plan. How can we as a family, how can we as a church help those people? Now, don't let me establish the work of your hands because it's God's work. But I tell you my experience in Birmingham about 10 years ago. We were with a group of missionaries from around the world, and the mission guy from the Baptist Union of the UK, because it's located around here, they said, I want you to go and visit the mosque. It's maybe the largest mosque or maybe the second largest mosque in the UK, right? So we went down there. We saw, and you see them every day. I don't live here, but you see these people every day. And not just mosque. You can see, you know, the gurdwaras and all that. Now, these people are there. We need to take initiatives. You know that if you go to the mosque, they will serve you a meal. Do you know if you go to the gurdwara, they will serve you a meal? Yeah. So they are generous. It doesn't matter when you go there. Their doors are open every day. What do we need to think, and how do we need to ask the Father? How can we initiate relationships with these people? Now, you are the best fit congregation I know in the UK. You have immigrants already here. And immigrants know how an immigrant lives and feels. So it's okay to extend to someone that has a broken English. It's okay to extend to someone that is struggling to make them end means. It's okay to think about the other people that has struggles as immigrants or non-British. I know that a lot of them, at least here in Birmingham, are maybe third, fourth generation. Nevertheless, they still feel maybe, I don't know, foreigners or strangers, or I don't know. But these people, so again, don't let me do that because, you know, it's not me to establish the work of the hands of the church. But this is what God invites us to take initiative. And the last one that we can see in the autonomy, it is to celebrate. He invites us to celebrate together. Isn't that amazing? If you could please read that passage too.
For 7 days, celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete.
Thank you. We are to come together and celebrate Him. It's not about what we have gathered. It's not about how much we were able to produce. It's not about, you know, competing with each other. You know, what is the fancier car in the park lot? It's not about, you know, us. It's about celebrating Him and enjoying who He is and enjoying the relationship with our Father. Because with God, as we walk with God, we are creating for good things. We read part of Ephesians 2:10, but there is more there. It says, the Bible says that He prepared the work that we were supposed to walk in. He prepared the good works that He prepared in advance for us to do. This is what He does. He is the one that thinks about the works, the good things that we need to do. It's not just about us making up stuff. It's not just about us imagining, initiating, and trying to make it work. It's about our walk and journey with the Father. And because of our journey with the Father, we do the works that He wants us to do. More. Okay. He established, I think, this is what He established for me today. First of all, as you all said, everything that comes together, everything that pulls things together is my palm. It's my relationship with the Father. Sometimes I feel like I need 1 or 2 hours in the morning or sometimes in the evening just to ground myself in Him. Now, I have the privilege that I don't have to go 9 to 5 to a job, but I tell you that my struggle is not to fill in the 9 to 5 slot. My struggle is to stay away from doing too much because I do a lot of good things and focus on my relationship with my Father. That's where I struggle the most. Do you know the research says that missionaries come back from their home, from their assignment, from their ministry in a foreign land, number one, because of their lack of relationship with God. And you say, but they are missionaries. They should be superhumans. You know, that's what they do. Oh, yeah, but when you get there, a new language, you had, you know, all that. So then the relationship, a lot of missionaries, is they are struggling. And that's what we, it doesn't matter. Again, we don't have to be missionaries. Everyday life to ground ourselves in the Father, in the Word. Do you know that this morning, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are all here with us. They all celebrate with us. They are present. They are here with us, and we can enjoy them. So that's my first. And then I included now, yeah, the one that brings everything, you know, the thumb. It's my family and some friends. Not everyone is there in my friends, but my family is there now. And I'm so happy because I have a wise, let me tell you, this is how I say about my wife, so please don't forgive me if I, but she's the female version of Jesus. Yeah, exactly. This is what I do every morning when I wake up. Ah, she's with me again. She's, you know, wonderful. So, but she's so wise. She, where's your family? I'm a man. I have objectives. I have big things to do. I have to organize, you know, a lot of stuff. And then I forget the most important things. You know that sometimes, many times, you know, she says, okay, what have the Lord spoken to you these days? That's the conversations we have. And I ask her, what have you studied lately? Sometimes we study together. Sometimes we have our own studies. What have we learned from our Father as we walk? Family. Then if you move on, you can see discipleship. That's a relationship. Missionary care pastoral care. That's what we do. That's what it's what have been entrusting to us. And then it's teaching. Now it's somewhere, you know, back there. And then, of course, writing is the last thing that I'm doing, although I hope I can write more. But that's what I would desire. But what the Lord desires is relationship. Relationships. That's what He wants. And this is what I understand. And this is what I want to do. And this work that He established for us is not that we can enjoy one afternoon. It's not just a meal. It is an everlasting, eternal life, eternal, how do you call this, impact. This is the work of our hands is not meant just for this world. It's meant to last for eternity with Him. That's why we invest in people. That's why we talk to people around us. We need to see Him at our work in order for us to be inspired. We are human beings. We need to see that there is a higher scope, a higher purpose with our lives. Otherwise, we'll look around the garbage. Yeah, they are expensive garbage, but it's still garbage. We have to look at heavens. And when we see the Lord work, then is when we are marveled. And then we are encouraged. It's amazing. This passage amazes me how beautiful it is. For you have made me glad by your deeds. When was the last time that you enjoyed, that you shout out with gladness, seeing what God was working, looking at His deeds, and just enjoy the Father? Wow, you are beautiful. You are amazing. So thank you, Sylvia, for asking everyone to share what was God doing in their lives, you know, in the last, like, you said a week or 3 days or, you know. It's amazing when we look at His work, at His deeds. And then the psalmist go on and he says, I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your work, Lord. How profound your thoughts. When was the last time you got His thoughts? Sometimes we can hear His work. But when was the last time that we delved into His thoughts, into His thinking? When was the last time that we got His ideas? Oh, this comes from God. I just enjoy it. And sometimes those ideas, those thoughts are about us. And we go back, we take a look back to how God created us. and we take a look back to how much He loves us, sometimes we just have to, in fact, God loves me so much, I don't have to perform. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to produce in order to be loved because I'm His, because it's my relationship with Him. So I wake up in the morning and enjoy His thoughts, enjoy His presence. That's what He's doing in our life. And we need to see that He's at work. We need to see that He does everything for us. And also we can see that we depend on Him. We depend totally on Him. We are so much dependent on Him. And Psalm 90 verse 16 said, "May your deeds be showed to your servants, your splendor to your children. May the favor of our Lord, our God, rest on us." We need to see Him. He shares Himself to us. And another translation says in verse 17, talks about, instead of "may the favor, may the beauty of our God." That's amazing. I wish we'd have that in the Romanian translation. The beauty. When was the last time that you just marveled to God's beauty? "Oh, you are so wonderful. You overwhelmed me with your presence." And because of that relationship, because I enjoy who you are, because I don't feel guilt, because I don't feel that I'm always nagged, "Don't do this, do that, come here, go there." That's not what He wants me. He wants me to enjoy His presence. Because of that, He had prepared the work that I'm about to do that day. And because I do that day, I love Him even more. I enjoy Him even more when I look back at that day. And I said, now, maybe for some of you, while I'm talking here, it's either foreign or you have never experienced. Maybe you said, "I wish my spiritual life would look like, you know, enjoying the Father, go through the day, do the deeds that He established, and then be thankful and enjoy Him again." I don't know what you work daily. I don't know how is your situation. But this is what our Father invites us to live our lives. And why? Because we prepare ourselves for heaven. Today maybe, or maybe tomorrow, I have no idea when He'll come back. And He prepares us. The Bible tells us about the church that He's making to look more. I don't know all the English words. I'm trying to translate in my mind the wording of the Bible. But He's cleaning, creating, or He's, I don't know the word, making His bride, preparing His bride, His church, to meet with Him. And this is how He does it. In the relationship with Him, establishing the work in our lives. So, our work leads to harvest. Do we worship the harvest or the work? Our harvest leads to attitudes. What do we love? What do we enjoy the most of what we produce? Our attitudes are expressed in the relationship. What is the relationship that drives your work of the hand? In a year, maybe, when we come back to celebrate again harvest, what would you think? Or maybe at the end of this year, as usually we do, we look in December, 31st of December, some of us take our journal, take our notes, and look at what has happened in 1 year. What drives our life? What drives the work of our hands? Is it because of our relationship with the Father? Is it because of our relationship with our work? Is it because of our accomplishment? Is it because of our family? Is it because of our friends and people around us? Or is it because we want to, or we desire God more? Remember, this actually is a prayer of Moses. When they started the journey to go into the desert, and as he has written the five books, the Pentateuch, the five first book of the Bible, he came to Deuteronomy at the end of the of his time, just about when he was about to leave the Israelites in the valley and he was about to go to the mountains, these five passages he has written and then left, and he was never seen by anyone until the New Testament. So Moses have learned and asked the Father to establish the work of our hands. And I want you to, as you look at that hand, try to figure out, in a real, honestly, what actually drives your relationship and the work of your hands. And I want you to just close our eyes and think and visualize, what would you put on those fingers? What would you like to see? What do you think is there? Be honest to yourself. There's nobody with you in your thoughts. There's nobody that will say, no, don't put that. No, this is not good. Just be honest with you. What is there? What do you value the most? So just talk to our Father. Talk to your Father. Maybe you are not used to talk to the Father. So those that are believers and in churchgoers, just continue to talk to the Father. I'll speak to those that are not churchgoers. I want to speak to those of you that are not used to pray, or only pray if you have an exam or a financial difficulty or maybe a family struggle. I want you to think about, what is your relationship with God? It's not about a religion. It's not about a church. It's not about the denomination. Do I have God as my Father? Is he the one that established the work of my hands, my values, my life? And if he is not, but you desire for him to be your Father, to be your God, you want to enjoy his presence in his relationship, I want to invite you to pray, to talk to him, like any one of us. Just talk to him and say, God, the last time I prayed was when my mom died. The last time I prayed was when I had an exam. The last time I prayed was, I don't know, but I want to talk to you now. I want you to be my Father. I want the blood of Jesus to wash my sins. I can see that everything I do, everything I done yesterday and the last week, it's filthy rugs, expensive idols. There is nothing there that is lasting forever. I want you to change my life. So it's okay if you are, again, not used to pray to God. Just talk to him. Talk to him. Father, thank you for being with us this morning, and not because we are something. It's because who you are. You loved us so much that you invite us to celebrate your presence and celebrate your word and celebrate who you are. And thank you, Father, because you speak to our lives and continue to change my heart, continue to lead me, continue to drive the work of my hands, establish the work of my hands, and establish and give me the understanding, the wisdom to tune in and be with you the way that you want me to be. Allow me to just understand your thoughts and your heart so that I walk on this earth with you and enjoy you from now, from here, and will continue to enjoy with you. And also, Father, I want to ask you to bless each one of us here. There are some people here that struggle. There are some people here that it might be foreign, might be so far away from what they daily experience, but you are their God too. You love them. Let the Holy Spirit assure them of your love. And also, Father, I pray that those that do a lot of good work, that you clarify in their minds what you want them to do and establish the work of our hands. Yes. Establish the work of our hands. Amen.